Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. With the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new humanity, one new man, one new species of being, something that never existed before. It's as if that ancient spiritual Jewish DNA has just been waiting for this set strategic time to merge with the new covenant Gentile Christian spiritual DNA. And when the two merge together, it makes a complete dwelling place for God. This is the second chapter of Ephesians says this, a complete dwelling place for God in the Spirit. And then we will see what Jesus said. You will do the same works that I have done and even greater. My guest, Dr. Brian Adams, received a revelation from God. And from this revelation that he received, he has seen his healing ministry increase to upwards of 80% of the people get healed. Now, previously he had a healing ministry, but like most other people, but it went off the chart. But then he found that this revelation from God literally gives him an open heaven in most of the arenas of life that he previously didn't have. Now, in the year 2000, Brian, God spoke to you, and he gave you this revelation, which has transformed every aspect of your ministry. What did God say to you?
Well, I was just coming out of doing a long fast that the Lord had instructed me to do. And one day in prayer, said, I was just walking back and forth and enjoying the presence of God. And he spoke and he said, faith moves me, son, but forgiveness releases my power.
So if someone were to pose the question to God, God, I know you have power. I know that you paid the price 2,000 years ago for every one of my needs that I have in this thing called life. But how do I get your power released in my life? He just answered that question.
Amen.
Repeat that again.
The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, said, and he said, faith moves me, but forgiveness releases my power. He even prayed. He told us as he was teaching the disciples to pray that that his kingdom would come. And the way that his kingdom comes is when, like Jesus the Messiah, when he came, he was one of the first people in human form that ever went around and began to forgive people. They even said in Mark chapter 2, verse 7, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now Jesus was bringing God's mentality to the planet. He was bringing his way of doing things. You know, because before, once a year, the priest would go in and he would do an offering to forgive sins. And from year to year, people was hiding their sins. Because if they got caught, they was going to be stoned. They would be killed. There was no mercy. But praise God, there's mercy now.
I find it very fascinating, your background of how you came to the Lord. You should, from a probability viewpoint, the last thing in the world you should be is a pastor. When you were a young kid, did you ever think that you would be connected with ministry?
When I was young, if someone would have looked at me and said, you're going to be a man of God, you're going to be preaching the gospel, casting out devils, healing the sick, traveling the world, I'd look at you and say, what drug are you on?
Well, speaking of drugs, you were raised in a Christian home, but you quickly became addicted to drugs yourself, became a dealer, you were diagnosed with things such as bipolar and schizophrenia. But 2 years before you had your encounter with the Lord, in 1983, you had an experience with your 16-year-old nephew. Tell me about that.
Okay. His dad had died when he was about 3 years old. He was a Vietnam veteran, came back, had really had some trauma while he was there, like so many of the precious military men have had. He committed suicide. Now, because there was not a man in his life, I became the man that protected him from bullies. He would come to Uncle Brian and say, help me. And of course, I would help him. He came to me one day when he's about 16 years old now. He said, Uncle Brian, you got to help me. And he was shaking. He was scared. I said, what's the matter, son? He said, my dad's been visiting me for a month and I haven't told anybody. I'm like, your dad's been visiting? Son, your dad's been dead since you're three. He says, I know, but he's been coming and showing up in military fatigues. He's been talking to me, asking me about my mother and asking me about my little brother. And he said, just the other day, he said, he appeared on the couch just out of nowhere. The TV came on. I saw rock and roll. I saw money. I saw women. He said, I looked back and it wasn't my dad anymore. It was a demon. And it said, if you worship me, and that's just like Satan, he wants to steal the worship from God. He said, I'll give you all this. Now, he came running to me and said, Uncle Brian, you got to help me. Of course, I was a heathen, a drug addict and a drug dealer, but I always protected him. I said, you tell that old nasty devil that if he shows back up, come see Uncle Brian and I'll take care of him. Well, he left feeling relieved. I immediately, knowing that here I am, a heathen headed to hell, there's no way I can deal with demonic powers. I ran immediately to my mother's house, who just happened to be having a Bible study, and I told her about it, said, it's in your hands. Now, said, I left, went to town, went to the bar, started doing cocaine, put some acid in, started drinking, because I was scared now, because I thought, this demon, because I know my nephew would tell him, is going to come after me. And that night, as I...
I mean, you've done a lot of dumb things, but this, Brian, I think was the dumbest.
Sir, it was. Yes, sir, it was. And I went to my room, and I locked the doors like that was going to keep a devil out. And I sat down, and all of a sudden... this demonic presence came in. The room became ice cold, and the hair on every part of my body stood up. Of course, I'm drunk. I'm on drugs. I don't know what to do. But some memory from inside me, I guess from being in church as a child, as I've pulled the cover over my head, here I am, an honorably discharged Marine, and I'm hiding from this devil. I hollered, Jesus! And even though I wasn't saved, somehow my mother's prayers, whatever, this demon had to honor the name of Jesus, and it just was phenomenal to me because it...
And you know, as an unsaved Jewish man, that was the most striking thing that happened to me when I had opened... You had opened yourself up to the demonic by this dumb thing you said to your nephew and by being in drugs. I opened myself up to the demonic through occult New Age meditation courses, and the name of Jesus was stronger than the evil that was trying to smother me. And even in my unsaved state, I could see that.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's what happened to you. You saw the power, but you proceeded on your on your downward spiral. Amazingly. See, when I saw that, I immediately came to my senses and repented. Why didn't you?
Well, I guess I was dumber than a box of rocks. I was burned on drugs and, you know, just an old country boy. I, you know, being a Marine and being that macho man, I thought I'd continue. But because I'd seen that there really was something to this name Jesus, my brother and I were both drug dealers. We became, I told him about it, and he had had some experiences. He became infatuated, and I became infatuated. Now, we weren't saved. But we became infatuated with Jesus, and what we did at this time is we started going to Bible studies. And we'd sit outside the Bible study, and we would smoke a joint or snort some cocaine. We'd go inside, sit on the floor, sit. They'd be talking, Jesus walked on the water. And I was like, whoa, this dude is phenomenal.
All right, but you still, you're on that downward spiral for the next 2 years, yeah. And you reached to the point where you didn't want to live anymore, and you decided to take your life. What happened?
Well, I didn't know enough of the Bible really to help me, but I just knew enough to know that if I'm going to kill myself, I said, I don't know if I need to check in with God, if you make an appointment or a reservation or what exactly you do. So I had been on acid all week and putting all the cocaine. Actually, there was thousands. This is no exaggeration. Thousands of dollars of drugs was in me, smoking, snorting, drinking, rock heroin. Just finished a bottle of Jack Daniels. I thought, you got to go on a hill. I thought I'd heard Moses went on a hill. So I thought, you got to go on a hill to have an experience with God. I drove my Monte Carlo right through a barbed wire fence, the fence post beating on the side of my car. I get up to the top. I get out. I look up into the heavens, and I said, if you're real, I'm checking in with you before I check out. And about that time...
How did you even know to do that?
I guess from my mama. She taught me all the Bible stories. I'd grown up in a church that was just void of power. They had the stories, but I hadn't been introduced to the power yet.
Well, when you were a little boy, your mother kept telling you, if you ever get in a situation you can't handle, call on the name of Jesus.
Mm. You know, Sid, there's a lot of people, and they've got set free by going through the 12-step, and that's awesome, and I'm excited that that's worked for a lot of people.
But you had the one step.
I did the one. One step back, leaned my head back, and I screamed at the top of my voice, Jesus! And now that was in desperation. You know, the scripture says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Instantly, I was no longer high. Instantly, I was no longer...
How much drugs did you have in you?
Thousands and thousands of dollars. I was trying to overdose, and I just couldn't do it.
How could you be instantly sober?
Because, like that old song that I love so much, he touched me, oh, glory to God. And he spoke, Sid, that one of the first times I ever heard God speak, and he said, son, you never have to get high again.
How long did it take you to get off of your addiction from that moment?
Instantly. It was
instantly.
He must have known that I was just too much of a wimp, too weak or something. He was trying to get my mother out of his face. I'm not sure, because she was such a praying woman.
Okay, look, our time is slipping by, but I am so I've just listened to your 4-CD series, The Power of Forgiveness, that came from that word from God, that revelation, and you have stretched that revelation to the point where when people really understand the depths of the meaning of forgiveness, which you go into from the scriptures, from examples. You pray a prayer of impartation for forgiveness. But the thing that is so amazing to me is that as people walk in this supernatural realm, it literally repels sickness. It repels demonic oppression. It repels rejection. In fact, the devil plane can't touch you. I urge you to get this series and allow it to be played. You teach this to your children, your grandchildren. Everyone listening should do this. The 4-CD series by Dr. Brian Adams is called The Power of Forgiveness. We're making it available for a gift of $28 or more. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. You know, Brian Adams, you have a revelation. And knowing something and the depth of the revelation makes a world of difference. Most people would think, well, as long as you know it intellectually, that's fine. But you have a revelation on forgiveness. And I have to take you back to near the end of the year 2000. God spoke to you. And what did he say?
Well, Sim, I was in prayer, just coming out of finishing a long fast that the Lord had instructed me to be on. And as I was in prayer, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, son, faith moves me, but forgiveness releases my power. And as he spoke that to my heart, I just began to ponder it. And because, you know, a lot of times the Lord, when he speaks to me, he gives me one-liners, and I'll say it again. Faith moves God, but forgiveness releases his power. And as he began to give that to me, it slowly started to unveil, and the veil was moved away. As I began to pray and minister to people, all of a sudden, the Lord would give me a word of knowledge when I couldn't get them healed. And he would say, they have unforgiveness in their heart towards someone. I would approach them about this and say, you know, I believe the Spirit of God's showing me that from so many years ago, you have a traumatic experience in your life and there's unforgiveness. If you would just forgive and let them go right now, God's power is going to be released and you're going to be healed. Whether it was a deaf ear, whether it was fibromyalgia, no matter what it was.
Tell me, after you got this revelation, one of the first people you prayed for that was healed.
One of the first people that I prayed for, I was sitting on the phone talking to an individual on the telephone about church service, and a lady came up to the door. And as she came up to the door, she was a salesperson, and she was selling advertisement spots on TV. I put my finger up and said, just one moment, ma'am. And as I was talking, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and gave me a word of knowledge. And he said, she has unforgiveness. I didn't know she was saved, Sid. I didn't know she, you know, was born again. What the deal was, never met her before. I looked at her and I pointed to the seat in front of my desk. She sat down and I said, you've got unforgiveness. And she just began to cry. I hung up the phone. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know what it is, but God wants you just to forgive and release people. Well, you know what it was? She turned out to be a pastor's wife. And the church had hurt her pastor and was saying things and doing things, her husband. And she was holding that in her heart and because it was her husband. When she released and said, I make a decision to forgive them, I let it go. All of a sudden, she shouted. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I jumped back. What's the matter? She was opening and closing her hands. And I said, what are you doing? She says, I can't do this. I said, well, you're doing it. She says, I have not been able to open and close my hands. Pain has been from my shoulders to my hands. I've been racked with fibromyalgia. The pills, the medicine, the doctors could not get me healed. But now I'm healed because I've forgiven.
Now, you said something interesting to me on yesterday's broadcast. You said that people could be in unforgiveness over things that happened decades ago that they've even forgotten about.
Yes.
Well, what can someone do about that if they've forgotten about it?
Well, I tell you what, it seems like
as a matter of fact, what happened to you when you began going back and trying to see these things?
What I started to do, and when I saw the success we was having in some people's life, I just began in my meditation and my prayer time saying, Holy Spirit, please just reveal to me any hurts and pains and things from bad relationships. Maybe a coach embarrassed me in school or had a bad relationship with someone. And I said, just show me, whether a bully at school, show me what it is. And he began to show me things the minute I asked, because he wanted me to deal with these things, because it was legal ground, open doors for sickness, disease, devil's torment. And we can give that scripture in a little bit. But when he began to show me, I was like, I forgot all about that. And in agreement with the Spirit of God, I began to just forgive people. And
okay, let's go for example. Let's suppose it was a teacher that embarrassed you in front of other students. Now you remember that. You never dealt with it. It was before you were even a believer.
Yes.
As people we're talking to right now. What do you do when that comes to your awareness?
Well, what I do is I've kind of dubbed this prayer that I do called the conscious decision prayer, because a lot of times we will block stuff out into our subconscious and we don't want to remember things and we block it out because it hurts. So what we do is I just say, I make a conscious decision. I'm counting the cost now, Sid, that I know this is my responsibility, that I'm not allowed to have unforgiveness, because if you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. It's to our benefit. It's to begin.
Even before you were a believer?
Yes, yes. I still have to deal with these issues, and because God wants me to have relationships, if possible, restored to a better than it was before the offense. So I pray, I make a decision to forgive them and release them. And you know, the person might have been passed away and you can't go to them and make that right, but you can still say, Father, I release them from my end, from my individual person. I let it go. And many times, the majority of the time, last night I'm here in Texas, and I was ministering. A lady came up, and she had all kinds of pain racking her body. Her leg was twisted. And she said, I've been prayed for by the best. And I'm like, well, the best is Jesus, is the only one. I pray this prayer. And I said, when are you going to forgive the people that hurt you? She started crying. Her face got all messed up. And she's like, it hurt me. And I said, I know they did. And I even know they don't deserve to be forgiven. None of us do. But this is for Christ's sake. She forgave them and said she was healed. The power of God hit her. There was no more pain.
But wait a second, Brian. Most Christians know that they're supposed to forgive. What in the world would possess someone, forget the healing, to just walk in unforgiveness, which is grounds not to even go to heaven? What would cause someone to do that, Brian?
Well, for some reason, we think that once we've been hurt, if we don't forgive them, The devil has deceived us into thinking that we're getting even with them now. That until they pay...
You're getting even with yourself is what's going on.
Yes. You know, there was a minister that's been promoted and going on with the Lord. He had such a powerful statement about forgiveness. He says, having unforgiveness is like you drinking poison, but expecting the other person to die.
But what about if someone has done something, I mean, absolutely horrible. A girl is raped by a close relative who says, I'll kill you if you tell anyone. And it happened years ago. How in the world can that woman now forgive that person?
Well, one of the reasons that we hear when we're in the prayer lines, a person will say, Pastor Brian, I can't forgive them. And I look at them, and we really got to be gentle with these situations because these are such traumatic situations. I look at them and say, no, it's not that you can't. It's that you've made a decision you won't. But I'm here to help you, and there'll be ministers there to help you to pray this prayer, and the Holy Ghost will help you. Now, you may not be able to ever, and it may not be safe for you to go back and have the relationship with those people.
So trusting someone and forgiving are not necessarily synonymous.
Yes, yes. Trust comes if someone is disloyal and they've done something wrong, it's going to take them having to prove themselves that they've been born again. They've been changed or transformed by the glory of God. I've learned that we got to forgive, we got to release. But now, again, once we've done something, most men and women is going to get the trust back, like you say. They're going to have to earn that by their behavior. But God requires us to forgive unconditionally. Because, Sid, there's two types of forgiveness. There's human forgiveness, and there's God's forgiveness. Human forgiveness is, we'll forgive this, 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 and this, but we draw a line, murder, rape, date rapes, child abuse, no forgiveness whatsoever. Well, actually, if Christ is inside you and you're born again, then there's a forgiveness factory inside you. But that factory is going to have to run on a fuel, and the only fuel that the supernatural forgiveness of God can run on is the love of God. And it says the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in our heart, but our heart can't be hardened and bitter. It's got to be healed.
So what they did was sin. What they did was horrific. But somehow God gives us the power to forgive them, but not trust them unless there's true repentance and true time has elapsed to prove that there's true repentance.
Yeah, I mean, even in the situation with Peter, I mean, Peter was, Jesus is one of his main guys, but we all know what he did. He not just didn't betray him, he said, I don't know him. But the Lord says, I'm going to, just like the prodigal son, I'm going to give you a ring to do business in my name. I'm going to put shoes on your feet. You're not a servant anymore. You're a son. We've got to become sons and daughters. Sid, when you're in unforgiveness, you are not in the spirit. You're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when you're in the spirit, now your words are going to be life. Proverbs 18.
You know, if people can just capture this revelation you have on the power of forgiveness. I mean, the prayers that you pray in this 4-CD series called The Power of Forgiveness, they're supernatural prayers. And from that revelation, God has shown you, I mean, I always knew it was important for forgiveness from the viewpoint of people being healed, but I never recognized it literally puts a shield of protection around you from the demonic interference and oppression.
Yes, it does, sir. You know, as the Lord began to give me a list of things, he says, forgiveness repels rejection, repels offenses, repels sickness, repels demons, repels death, repels hell. People that have not received forgiveness from God are headed to hell for eternity. But the
Our time is slipping away. What changes has this made in your life once you started forgiving? And as you explained, the Holy Spirit showed you many offenses that occurred even before you were a believer in the Messiah that you just forgotten about or buried or said, well, it's under the blood. But when you dealt with them, what changes occurred in your life?
You know, Sid, since God began revealing to me the revelation that faith moves God, but forgiveness releases his power, it's made me conscious that not only am I supposed to forgive people, but I'm supposed to walk in forgiveness every day, putting it on like a cloak over top of my armor. Now, when I sat down and started saying, Holy Ghost, Could you reveal to me and show me the different things that I've got blockages in my life? When he did, it was like it actually got physically brighter around me, like maybe a cloud of depression was lifted off or something. The scripture says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I actually begin to have a sound mind. I could think, I could remember, I could be more Christ-centered. You know, the scripture says plainly, think on things that are pure, that are just, that are holy. It, when I began to forgive, because now the demons didn't have a legal right to be there, I wasn't tormented anymore. I mean, it even, I believe, I can remember this one real clearly. I used to toss and turn all the time in my sleep, and I never woke up rested. But once my conscience was clean and was clear, now I was sleeping better, which made it healthier for me.
What about something like you pray for the sick, but what about yourself? Did it have anything to do with you being sick?
Well, I was learning from the Word that the Bible says, submit to God and resist Satan. He started teaching me that that oppression and sickness was from him. So I was beginning to get revelation on walking in divine health. It was a struggle. I was doing better than most people I knew around me. But once I've got this message and I immediately forgive and release forgiveness, now, Sid, it's been such a beautiful money-saving adventure walking in forgiveness because I've not missed a day's work in 20 years. And even though I've been fighting that good fight of faith with the Word of God, now this key on top of it, of the power of forgiveness, it has become so easy because I'm not doing it by works anymore.
All right, well, let's. There are some areas that our people are really struggling with, and this is a this is revelation knowledge on forgiveness. I think every believer in the world should sit under this teaching. And do you realize how families would change if every member of the family, even extended children, grandchildren, were to get this teaching? I think it would revolutionize them, Brian.
Yes, sir, it would. You know, I was just reading the other day, Sid, speaking about families, in Matthew 18, it talks about the Lord that had a guy owed him 10,000 talents. He forgave him and didn't redo the payment plan, but actually cleared him of all debt. That same guy went out and found somebody that owed him but refused to forgive him. It's a picture, so to speak, of God forgiving us, but us not forgiving others. When they brought the gentleman back in, here's what happened. He said, "You should have forgiven them." He said, "You, your wife, and your children will be put and released to tormentors until the debt was paid." So, you know, Sid, people say, well, if I have unforgiveness, it doesn't affect anybody else. But here we see it did the wife and the children open the door up for the tormenting spirits, whether sickness, poverty, whatever it might be, it opened the door to them. So we need to take responsibility, release and forgive so our whole families can be free.
Tell me what kind of counsel you would give a wife who is being verbally abused by her husband and she has forgiven him, but it's happening every day.
Yes.
What does she do?
Well,
she wants to walk in forgiveness, but that's kind of hard when you have a wound and it's poked at every day.
Yes. What I believe the scripture plainly tells us is that when there are strongholds that are bad, we got to tear those down and begin building godly strongholds. So what I tell people is say you've forgiven somebody, you see them again, it rises up, or like you're saying, this exact situation. I say, I pull every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. When that anger comes up, say, I've chosen to forgive them and release them. And then when any time we can get in our private prayer closet, like Jesus did on the cross, they were killing him, mocking him. She should begin to say, Father, I pray that you forgive him. Because see, what you'll also see in this revelation is that forgiveness can be used as a tool of evangelism, because when forgiveness is given, it releases God's power, which is his Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost begins to convict people, and now the very first process of salvation is beginning. So just like Smith Wigglesworth's wife, he would verbally abuse her, lock her out on the steps all night long.
And I mean, if she had been alive now in this generation, she probably would have left him. But somehow she stayed with him over that. And look at the man of God he became because she was trusting God.
Yes. She had a revelation, I believe the scripture says, bless those that curse you and pray for those that despitefully use you. If we do kingdom tactics, here this woman's being abused every day. He's despitefully using her. That she prays under the power of forgiveness on him. God's going to heal her. The Holy Ghost is going to comfort her. We see this all the time. People say, hey, Pastor Brian, this is supernatural. I don't hate anymore. I'm not so mad. Now I see, just like Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. They're blinded. Their eyes are blinded by demon spirits, Sid. And so we need to break the power of that demonic forces on them because we don't fight against flesh and blood.
Well, you talk about people that literally get addicted to the emotions such as hatred and bitterness. Let me give you an example. Someone has done something bad to me, and I've done the right thing. I choose to forgive. I've said a prayer, and then I'm going to a grocery store, and I see them right in front of me. I don't want to see them, and all my emotions bubble up. All those emotions I thought that were gone. What do I do about them?
Well, I always say this saying, repetition is the mother of all learning. Sometimes, whether it's 15 to 20 times a day, you might have to say, I pull these thoughts captive. I've made the conscious decision. Through Christ, I've chosen to forgive them. Devil, you're not bringing this back up. I love them. See, faith cometh by hearing. I believe God showed me that our soul was created to respond to the sound of our voice. We will get greater faith hearing ourselves speak the word of God than we will any preacher. We need to hear ourselves say, I forgive them. I release them. And you might have to do it 15, 20 times a day. But as the weeks go by, you...
So what do you do if, in the case I used, you bump into the person, they don't even see you, and so you're in a grocery store, so you go down a different aisle so you don't have to confront them. What would you do?
What I do is I'm a little obvious. I'd probably walk by and say, praise God, how you doing? Faith without works is dead. And so if I, by faith, has forgiven them, then I'm going to say, devil, you've tried to rip me off with this relationship with them. I'm going back to take what the enemy's stolen from me. This is my sister. This is my brother. Now, I understand not every situation, because there's levels of degrees that we can rebuild that relationship because of murder or rape or something. But in most situations, we can at least get to a place of repetition, of pulling our thoughts captive, praying these prayers. I make a conscious decision to forgive them, and I'm sticking with it. Devil, you can't take my power to forgive because it's a gift from God that he's given me.
Now, you teach on not only forgiving others, but two areas that most people forget about, forgiving themselves
Yes. And
forgiving God. Now, you would think no one would have to forgive God, but there's so many misunderstandings. I mean, we look through a mirror dimly. We don't see it so clear. And so we come with false conclusions about God. Do you have any testimony about someone forgiving themselves?
Yes, you know, the scripture says that you must love one another as you love yourself. Well, I've met some people, I wouldn't want them loving me because they don't treat themselves very good. Because they've made bad decisions in their life. I know a friend that he ended up with arthritis, and it was turning into crippling arthritis. And he was so angry at himself how he'd made wrong decisions and lost jobs and not treated his family right. And he's just like, I don't deserve forgiveness. And the devil had just lied to him. After counsel and after prayer and encouraging and hearing these similar type messages, he, with help in prayer, said, I make a conscious decision to forgive myself. And he was able to let the past go, rebuild the relationship with his wife and kids, and he's back in school, got a better job, and what the devil was using as chains and binds to keep him down, he doesn't have the arthritis no more, he doesn't have the low self-esteem anymore, and all that the devil was using to torment him had to leave because the price had been paid through Christ in forgiveness, and he applied that price.
I am overwhelmed at how many people are getting healed. Once they get this supernatural teaching and revelation on forgiveness, God has raised Dr. Brian Adams up, dealing with a subject. It's not just physical healing, although better than 80% when he teaches this that need physical healing are being healed now. It's not just physical healing. It literally will get rid of demonic oppression, rejection. It will give you a shield of supernatural protection, allow you to walk in the love God wants you to walk in. The 4-CD series called The Power of Forgiveness. When Dr. Brian Adams prays over you, strongholds will be, you'll get revelations of things that you needed to forgive that will literally give you an open heaven available for a gift of $28 or more. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697, 1-800-447-2697. One of the things, areas that a lot of Christians miss, and there are many areas, one area is things that happened even before you were a believer. You figure, well, put it all under the blood. But you know what? It's still there. And Dr. Brian Adams, I believe it literally stops the frequency of God coming in and communication with God two-way when you have this unforgiveness buried inside of you.
Oh, yes, sir. It definitely does. Because what we found out is, and I say the statement again, faith moves God, but forgiveness releases his power. To be able to walk in unforgiveness, you cannot be in the spirit and be in obedience with God. Without receiving forgiveness, we're never going to be able to fulfill the call of God. Because what we see is hurt people, abandoned people or molested people, they abandon and molest. But when you receive forgiveness, it's healing power, the supernatural power God's released, and now you become healed. And here's what's awesome. Healed people heal people. Now you can plainly hear from heaven. You can hear the voice of God. You go from being a child of God to maturing to becoming a son or a daughter of God.
Well, there's three areas you talk about forgiveness, and most people know about forgiving others.
Yes.
But they kind of overlook forgiving themselves, and you dealt a little bit with that on yesterday's broadcast. But then others, and this is hard to believe, they are believers. But they still need to forgive God because of their limited understanding. They've judged God harshly, and there's a bit of a hurt. God, why do you answer other people's prayers, but you're not answering mine? Give me an example of someone that needed to forgive God and how it changed their life.
I knew a lady, and she's a wonderful Christian. I mean, a wonderful person, individual. You're not going to find a better person. So this doesn't just affect bad people. This can affect everybody. Her mother ended up with cancer. They took her everywhere that they could take her, to the best doctors, to the best preachers, she said, to have them pray for her. And her mother was a good lady, believing in Christ, helped everybody serve. She died. Her prayers did not get answered. And now this woman's like, God, how dare you let my mama die? And I know there's probably people listening now that have loved ones. They prayed for, they believed, and they didn't get healed. Maybe a person didn't get a job, or the marriage they were believing for, it still got a divorce, and they were praying, God, I prayed. But of course, you and I know, Sid, God can't go against a person's will. He won't have robots. And we have to line up with the principles of heaven, the principles of the Word of God. And so many people, now, once I begin dealing with this young lady about this, she said, oh, my gosh, I've been bitter at God. I've hated God. And because when you get bitter at God, it now stops your prayer life, and you begin trying to become Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, and now you're doing everything by the power of flesh. You become emotionally burnt out, stress and anxiety, all these afflictions, because the devil says, ha-ha, I've separated you from the original Mr. Fix-It. Now you're trying to do it yourself. She forgave and said, God, I've been mad at you. I forgive you. And now she wouldn't even pray for anybody again. Now she's praying for the sick. She's back in church. Her husband just said, thank you, Jesus, that you ministered to her, because she was angry at everybody. But now the whole family's been restored in church, and their jobs, everything, Sid.
Now, you were telling me about someone that had that same problem yesterday. We didn't have time to put it on the air, that had a creative miracle.
Okay. There was a gentleman. Now, he came to a prayer line where we were having a three citywide church meeting, and he was one of the first peoples in line. As I came walking down, he's kind of bouncing and jumping around. I thought, it's good to see somebody with excited faith. I said, "What's the problem, sir?" He said, "Well, I got infected about 12 years ago. Something, I'm not even sure what it was. It caused that they had to surgically remove everything from his hearing, his anvil, the stirrup, the eardrum, and they took it out, left a hole. They took some fat from the side and stuck it inside his head to fill up the gap so he couldn't hear. He didn't have anything. Now, the other ear was all right, but this one. So he said, God told me on the way here, I'm going to get healed. I prayed for him one time. Nothing happened. I stuck my finger in his ear and called on God for a creative miracle. Nothing happened. Did it the third time. Nothing happened. I said, I'm going to go ahead and pray for these other people. God, you've got a word from God, so you stand on it. Went down the line, two or three people, they got healed. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge, says he's got bitterness and unforgiveness in his heart. I turned around and said, sir, God says you've got unforgiveness in your heart. He collapsed, fell to his knees, and said, I hate my old pastor. He embarrassed me. He did me wrong. He mocked me, and God didn't protect me. And he was just mad at God and everybody, this pastor. I went over and took his hands, and he fell against me, and as he's crying, I said, you can forgive him. I'm here to help you. And that's, we as believers need to become distributors of the power of forgiveness. And as I prayed with him, he finally did it, and he forgave and released. I said, let me pray now. I stuck my finger in his ear, and I said, Lord, give this man the recreative miracle that he needs. Instantly, God replaced everything, and he hears perfect to this day.
Wait a second. If I understood you right, they had surgically removed the parts that cause a human to be able to hear.
Yes.
So he got a new eardrum from heaven.
He got a new eardrum from heaven, and the awesome thing about it, Sid, he didn't get a bill in the mail.
Well, tell me about, I mean, there's so many amazing healings that are happening and people hearing from God when they get the revelation of the power of forgiveness. Tell me about someone that was healed of prostate cancer.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There was a gentleman came in, his wife brought him in. I didn't know him. They were an older couple, and he was actually a Baptist pastor, him and his wife, from down along the river. And they came walking in, and I walked out, and the guy looked almost like someone that had been in one of the Jewish camps. He was very skinny. He looked like he was dying, anorexic or something. And his wife was helping him in, and I said, can I help you? And because I'd heard the door open, came out of my office, and they said, a person was at one of your food fellowship dinners. They had like 70% hearing loss in both ears and arthritis in their hands. You prayed with them, dealt with unforgiveness, and she was healed, and she came and told us about it. My husband's dying with prostate cancer. We've got the legal documents of the doctor of the PSA level before and the PS level after, and it's just huge. Well, I prayed with him, and he forgave some people that he had hurt, and he didn't say, he goes, I thought I'd forgiven them, but it was still in his heart. He released them. I wrapped my arms around him, and I just said, the power of God be released. God's power lifted him up and put him down on the couch. He slid down. She was limping out. I said, stop, I want to pray for you too. God ended up healing her. About 3 weeks later, he comes in. I didn't even recognize him. He'd put on 20 to 30 pounds, brought the papers in, and is totally healed, pastoring and preaching the gospel and preaching God heals if you forgive.
How about things like mental illness? Give me a quick testimony.
Oh, we got a powerful testimony on that. You know, Matthew 18, the story of where the man that had been forgiven wouldn't forgive. He was turned over to the tormentors. When I read that, the scripture came to me, fear hath torment. So I started seeing that phobias and fears and anxieties, these all fit that description. Doctors can't heal them. They medicate them. So I got a call from a doctor and said, I got a lady that's been in her house stuck for 2 years. She comes out maybe once a quarter to go to the doctor. She shuts her eyes. Her sister and mom takes her to the car. She comes to the doctor. She gets inside, opens her eyes. She stays inside. Her husband, now divorced, had beat her and abused and raped her. She lived inside the house with the veil, the curtains shut, and in very much darkness. One light bulb moment. I called her and said, I'd like to come. And I went over. She started telling me that her life story. It was crazy. She'd been in the mental institution 6 times. She had seizures now, epileptic seizures. She was on Social Security, lost her driver's license because of the seizures. Now wouldn't trust anybody. A lady went with me. I started teaching her about 20 minutes about forgiveness. And she reached out and grabbed my hand. She goes, I hate him. He doesn't deserve it. But I want healed. I'm tired of suffering because of this. She got some revelations in. I prayed the conscious prayer, the decision prayer. She forgave. The tears started flowing down her face. And I put my hand on her head. And I said, you foul, tormenting spirits, leave her now. She just took a deep breath and exhaled. The color of her face changed. The atmosphere changed in the room. That was on a Wednesday. That night, she showed up to church. Oh, man, she came out of her house. She was still a little nervous. 3 days later, I'm driving down the road. My cell phone rings. She's screaming. I thought, oh, gosh, man, something's happened. What's the matter? She says, I'm in the middle of Walmart. There's hundreds of people, and I'm not afraid. She ended up getting her driver's license. She no longer has seizures. She's totally healed. She called Social Security and said, Jesus, deliver me from the tormentors. I don't need to check no more. She's working for an insurance adjuster. She's remarried and got 2 beautiful babies. Her life has been given back to her because she forgave.
I'm kind of overwhelmed at the types of healings that are occurring. Once someone hears the revelation that God himself gave you on the power of forgiveness, forgiveness releases my power. Speaking about releasing God's power, Dr. Brian Adams, tell me about that football player that he had an incurable condition from a football injury. Tell me what happened.
Oh, that was awesome. We have 3 churches, and I was at one of the churches that pastor had invited me to come down to preach, and he said, there's a young man, and there was only 4 cases that's reported right now, and 3 of them's in Africa. And he had got injured in playing on football, just a young boy, probably about 16, 17 years old. His armpit was clear down by his hip, and he was twisting up, and they some kind of a distortion. And eventually the arms curl up and can't be used, the legs curl up and can't be used. And we were in worship, and the grandmother had brought him to the church. We're standing there in worship, just praising God. The grandmother slips over and tells the pastor, he's in such pain, we got to leave, or could you pray for him now? So he looked at me, and I overheard her, and I said, let's do it now. This is important. We walked over, and I gave a signal, take the music down a little bit, but continue it. I walked over. He's bent over, clear to the side, and they've done everything. He's in such pain. The tears are flowing down his face. And I told him, I said, you know, this injury's happened. But since it's happened, you're mad and upset at the players that hit you and what's happened to this situation. And he shook his head. Yes, I'm mad at them, man. And I said, you know, God's able to heal anything. If you forgive this person or these other players, God's going to heal you right now. And I took his hand, and he's in severe pain. He's crying and just making pain noises and stuff. And he did the best he could to say, I forgive them. I make a conscious decision. I release it. I let it go. They don't owe me anymore, Jesus. I grabbed his shoulder and I just pulled him straight up and said, in the name of Jesus, let this body, the crooked, be made straight in the name of Jesus Christ. And man, the hair was standing up on everybody around us as the power of God just came upon the scene. The boy stood up perfectly straight, and he began to cry even more. I was like, I hope he's not crying because he's in more pain. I said, are you hurting? He said, no, the pain's gone. He said, look at me. I'm standing straight. His grandmother hugged me and about squeezed me to death. She was so excited, said, but for the glory of God, he's standing tall and back to playing ball.
So many people are getting healed. So many people are getting free because of the revelations that Jesus taught you about the power of forgiveness. One of the teachings you have, which is wonderful, you call Jesus forgave from the cross. Explain that.
Well, you know, I was reading the Bible one day as I was working on this revelation and trying to get more from it so people could be free. I saw a scripture in Luke 17 that says, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. woe to those that bring them. So Jesus is saying, hey, nothing you can do. You're going to get offended. People don't play well together. And then he started showing me that many times people will say stuff about people, do stuff to them. They get mad. The person that gets it done wrong, they get mad. They go home. They rehearse it 15, 20 times, 2 or 3 months. Now that they did me wrong, oh, man, I'm mad at them. But Jesus said, now all that rehearsing is watering the seed of unforgiveness, turns into a root of bitterness. Now sickness and infirmity comes. He said, but here's what I want you to teach my people, son. Look at Jesus, my son, on the cross. And he took me to the passages there where Christ was on the cross. There, they beat him, put a crown of thorns on his head, shoved it and beat it with a staff, pulled part of his beard out. And they were, you know, the story of the crucifixion, pierced his arms and his feet and the spear in his side. And they were doing all this mocking, probably some of the same people he'd raised from the dead. I mean, talking about abandon and rejection. And all this was going on. And he said, watch what my son did. He said, Father, forgive them. Which is the highest level of forgiveness, Sid. It's not just forgiving, but becoming an intercessor and saying, I so much want them to be free because I know they, and Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. The devil's a puppet master. The people become puppets. Their eyes are blinded by the enemy. So we can't really get mad at them if we see in the spirit like Jesus did. We know now we must forgive right why the pain is happening, right why the people are lying, right why the people are abusing you, saying, I forgive them. I choose to do it now, and it repels the offense. It repels the pain. And you'll see that bitterness you'll become like Teflon, Sid. It'll like slide right off of you. And you can walk in just the peace of God, which is one-third of the kingdom of heaven.
You know, I am so impressed with the supernatural prayers you have on your 4-CD series. There is literally an anointing for people to really forgive in the depth. But just briefly, right now, will you lead us in a prayer of repentance and forgiveness?
Yes, sir. I would consider it an honor. Right now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to know.
And by the way, let me interject. There's such a strong anointing right now. I believe that right after you pray this prayer, people are going to be healed. Pray this now.
Yes. If you are listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to know that praying this prayer doesn't mean what these people did was right. It doesn't excuse them, but it's you taking a higher road. It's the beginning of your healing and your freedom and deliverance. Pray this prayer. Say, I make a conscious decision.
I make a conscious decision.
To forgive every person that's ever hurt me or done me wrong.
That's ever hurt me or done me wrong.
I even forgive myself.
I even forgive myself.
For wrong decisions and actions.
For wrong decisions and actions.
God, if I've got anything against you, I forgive you.
God, if I have anything against you, I forgive you.
And Lord, I pray that you forgive these people that have hurt me.
And Lord, I pray that you forgive the people that have hurt me.
I release the past and I let it go.
I release the past and I let it go.
I welcome the power of God in my life right now.
I welcome the power of God in my life right now.
Jesus be my healer.
Jesus be my healer.
My deliverer.
My deliverer.
My Messiah.
My Messiah.
Save me from my sins.
Save me from my sins.
I make a new covenant with you today, Jesus.
I make a new covenant with you today, Jesus.
Now, I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against every mental disorder, every tormenting spirit, fibromyalgia, bursitis, arthritis, every sickness, cancer, disease, spirits of infirmity. Your power is broken right now. These people have chosen to forgive. Your legal ground is gone, and I break your power. Leave them now. Tumors dissolve, life come upon people, joy return, the joy of salvation be returned right now to people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, Sid, right now I see that there's a woman, an elderly woman, and she's bending over right now, weeping and crying because her children have abandoned her and left her. And God says to tell you, man, right now, God's going to restore the relationship because you've forgiven them what they've done. And not only is he going to restore the relationship, but God's going to deliver them from drugs. I hear that in the Spirit, your family's going to be healed and set free. There is going to be many, many household salvations when people get a hold of this revelation, Sid. I feel the Holy Ghost turning loose and releasing his power to every household that's listening. Begin to do something you couldn't do before because God's power has been released.
And let me clarify, words of knowledge are wonderful, but the truth is Jesus died for every sickness, for every spirit of infirmity on you, for every pain that's on you, whether it's emotional or physical. And the presence of God is so thick in the studio right now. And I believe coming into your very being right now, the presence of God is coming into you, and no disease, no pain, no sickness can rear its ugly head. And I say what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. It is finished.
Amen.
It is finished. By his stripes, you were healed. Brian, are you catching anything else?
Oh, I tell you right now, Sid, there's some people with some swollen knees right now, swollen knees that are arthritis and bursitis. When you prayed that prayer and I rebuked the tormenting spirits, the amplification of that soreness and sickness is gone. The swelling is going down right now. There's people that you've got kidneys and livers. I'm hearing organs right now, Sid. People that have had malfunctioning organs are being healed. You've even been scheduled for surgery to have some organs replaced. You're not going to need them because God, just like he put new eardrum in that man, he's putting new organs in you right now. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that some people that's had gallbladders taken out, God's going to put them back in just to show you that he's God.
We're coming into a point in history where everything that God promised, this generation is going to see. Why not let it happen this moment? You see the anointing that is on Dr. Brian Adams when he teaches on the power of forgiveness? I want you to get this 4-CD series. We're making it available for a gift of $28 or more. It's called The Power of Forgiveness. Shabbat broadcast. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechecha Adonai veyishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'asem lecha shalom. To
hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-2121.